journey into the Citadel, where our pastor is Superintendent Johnson A. Bevan III. We hope you enjoyed this podcast.
It's a wonderful day, beautiful Lord's Day, certainly here at the city of Indianapolis, Indiana. And we just greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ on this Sunday, March 7th, 2021. And I see that quite a few on this morning. And if you're on with us today and you haven't let us know that you're here, go ahead and type in there and comment that you're here with us this day. So we're certainly glad that you're here. Certainly feel free to share and start a watch party with us, because we've got something, again, I think that would be encouraging and helpful to you this morning on this Lord's Day. And we certainly are glad to have even those who are with us on the conference line. And it's always good to have everyone join us on this particular time and gathering here on social media. We'd love to connect with you, be a support to you, and certainly to pray for you, especially if this is your first time being with us. And to connect with us, all you have to do is simply text us right there on the ticker on the bottom of the screen there. Just text 767-672-317-676-0134. Again, text 767-672-317-676-0134. You'll receive a reply text with a link to our digital connect card, and just tap that link and it'll open right up. And it takes less than 30 seconds to complete the digital connect card. And in the comment section, let us know if this is your first time with us. Just type in there, first time guest, or you might want to become a part of our online church community. You can let us know that, or you may have a prayer request even as we get started here today. So again, text 767-672-317-676-0134. And just let us know what your need may be. And if you're here and you haven't yet checked in with us, you can check in there, and also let us know on the screen here. Just let us know that you're here and that you're watching with us. I see quite a few of you here. So glad to see you all, Citadel, and some who are not members of Citadel. We just thank God for you on this Lord's Day. And I see others are coming on. That's right. Let's get the hit the hearts and hit the likes, thumbs up on this day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we will progress here in our studies and in our lesson. Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day that you have allowed us to see. A day, God, that you've made, a day, God, that we're able to witness your glory. For certainly, Lord, the heavens declare your glory. And we thank you, God, for being the only God that there is, the true and the living God, the one who sits high and looks low, the one who beholds both the evil and the good. But we just give you praise and glory today, God, because you're worthy of all the praise. For you kept us in the night season, Lord. You protected us and preserved us while we slept. And you woke us up this morning. And oh, how grateful we are for your graciousness unto us. Ask you to be with us as we attend to your word this morning. And again, to look over persons throughout this country and even the world, those who are still battling this coronavirus. But yet, God, you're in absolute control. We thank you, Lord, for the vaccines that have been developed and that are being distributed, and for those who are getting vaccinated. And we pray, God, that there would be no impediments or nothing that impedes this particular progress that's being made so that we can get through and come out on top in this particular matter and the situation that we're all facing with and living in this world. You're a great God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that even gives us the right to come before your throne of grace, to enter into your presence and to give you praise and glory and to beseech you on this day. Bless us now as we look to your word. Open our hearts, God, deposit within us that which is needful, and we will give you the glory and the honor, and help us, Lord, to live according to that which you declare. And also, God, to bring us all into our destiny, into that place that you've called us to. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we're still in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're dealing with the subject matter, confronting gigantic challenges. And if you're here with us and you haven't been here with us, we've been going through quite a bit here in this series. And we've been dealing with the key to how to handle and to deal with gigantic challenges. And the key is in knowing how to respond to them. And in the story here, certainly it's not like Saul but and the Israelite army, but rather we've turned our attention to take a look at David's approach and response to sort of extract some insights and some principles helping us to guide us when facing a fierce foe or when we're confronted with gigantic challenges and struggles in life. And the first insight, just real quick, here's a recap for some possibly those who haven't been with us recently. The first insight is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 25 and 26. And simply it's this, is that it's important to recognize the reality of what we see and hear. We have to recognize who is who and what is what. And we do this by having a theological perspective on the situation. In other words, it's just seeing and hearing through the spiritual lens and the microphone of God and not looking at things through our human lens and the megaphone of man, because we always have something to say and how we see something when we're dealing with things. The second principle is from the confrontation between David and his eldest brother, Eliab, in verses 28 through 30. And here is that we have to realize that family may think they know you, that they know us, yet they do not know possibly the plan that God has for us. Your family may think they know everything about you, understand you completely and surely because they've been living with you. But at the same time, they may unknowingly underscore who you are. And also because they are not aware of what God has for you, what God is up with you, what God is doing with you. And oftentimes God is positioning us to transition us for something new. And sometimes family cannot see what God is doing with you, even though they think that they may know you. And last week began to take a look at one aspect of the third principle, the insight that we're sharing with you to guide us when confronted with challenges. And that principle simply is this. The third principle, we have to resolve to face the challenge. We have to resolve to face the challenge. The term resolve just simply means to make a definite and a serious decision to do something. So let's take a look at our opening text here in 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, and verses 31 to 33, verse 32 and 33 reads like this. And when the words were heard, which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he be a man of war from his youth. And I sort of like the way it reads in the New Living Translation. And verses 31, 32, 33 says, then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. And verse 32, David said, don't worry about this Philistine. I'll go fight him. In verse 33, Saul replied and said, don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. Now, from the beginning, a snippet of this conversation between David and Saul. I shared with you last week, there are two distinct challenges we have to resolve to confront. There are two distinct challenges sometimes we have to resolve to confront. And the first challenge is just a challenge of being against and up against overwhelming odds. And that's what David was. He was up against overwhelming odds. And what is needed when facing overwhelming odds is simply courage, being brave and having boldness to take some action and to go. I see you there. All right, Detroit, I see you in the house. God bless you. Brother Pompey, bless you, man. I think I saw also one of our readers and my classmates from St. Andrews, I think Beth Collins, I saw her on there. God bless you this morning. Now, at first sight, it appears that the giant Goliath is the overwhelming challenge. When you read the story, you see how big he is and all of his heavy armor and everything. This man was probably almost, if not 10 feet tall, at least he was over 9 feet tall. And so it appears that Goliath is the overwhelming challenge here. But lurking beyond Goliath is the real restraining challenge that must be tackled first. And that really is fear. For in the first part of verse 32, it reads, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail or fall short because of him. All right. Let no man's heart fail or fall short or collapse because of him. And really, him had instilled fear within Saul and the Israelite army. And so, in other words, David said, don't lose courage. Don't lose courage, because that's what is needed. All right. In order to, first of all, deal with fear. He says, don't lose courage in letting your heart collapse, because in dismantling fear, you have to get a good dose of courage. And sometimes you got to get multiple doses of courage, as we looked at and saw in Joshua chapter one last week. Now, in spite of the overwhelming odds in facing Goliath, David saw this as an easy match. And it's probable that David thought to himself, with a target this big, I mean, this guy was gigantic. He was huge. All right. He loomed before everything. All right. David probably thought to himself, with a target this big, how in the world can I miss? So David saw this as an easy match. But let's continue on with the next portion of this conversation between David and Saul to see what a second challenge is that we may have to confront, all right, when we're dealing with confronting challenges. But within, they have some micro challenges, so to speak, as we're going through there, some things that we have to be confronted with. So let's take a look and see what the second challenge is we may have to be confronted, and also see what is needed, all right, in addition to courage, because courage is there to help us to deal with fear. But in addition to courage, what else is there that we need when making the resolve and facing a challenge? And we want to focus our attention regarding this in verse 33. Verse 33, let's read that again. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he is a man from his youth. All right. You got that? Look at it one more time. Just take a look, a real good look again. And look at verse 33 there. Look at it real good. God bless you, Sister Gloria Fields. Glad to have you with us today. And also my little sis, Jan. God bless you. Glad that you're with us on this morning. Sometimes another challenge you may have to face, all right, not just the overwhelming odds, but in the midst of that as well, you may be challenged to have to face people's incredulity of your ability or your capability, all right? You have to face people's incredulity of your ability or capability. In other words, sometimes you may be confronted with people's skepticism. Incredulity deals with skepticism, all right? People often will have doubt about you, about your ability, and about your capability. And that's what was happening here. David was confronted with Saul's reservation and Saul's doubt of his ability in this particular situation. And also, Saul was not convinced that David had what it took, that David wasn't capable to get the job done. And sometimes that's something else that you have to face when you're dealing with certain challenges as well. And I'm here. I would venture to say that every one of us here have been there at some time in our lives where people were not confident in your ability and or in your capability. For some, it may have been when you didn't get the promotion because of how or what your supervisor, your manager thought about you. Didn't think that you had the ability, didn't think that you were capable of doing it. Sometimes friends may have not thought that you were able and capable to pull something off. You talk to them, tell them you're going to do this, tell them to do that, and they just can't see how you can do it. Just can't see how you're going to be able to pull that thing off. And truth be told, though, I'm sure there have also been some times when you have doubted your own ability or your own capability, such as I have in certain kinds of situations. So if you've been there, just let us know that you're human. Let us know you're human. You know, I've been there. All right. I've either had I've doubted my own ability and capability, or I've been there when I was turned down for something because they didn't think I could do it. Just let us know. I've been there. Let us know you've been there in this kind of situation and have been faced with people's skepticism or doubt about your ability and your capability. There's a story about a little boy that grew up in Detroit, and his name was Ben. And he and his brothers, they lived together with their mother. The mother was a single parent, and his mother had married at the age of 13, but had divorced shortly after Ben was born. And the kids at school, they made fun of Ben. I don't know about y'all, but y'all may have had some fun made at y'all to school. When I can remember Ben, we used to ride the actual city bus in my second and third grade going to St. Andrews. And there was a big old husky guy, big old husky guy. I can't even remember his name, but I'll never forget. He was a big husky dude. You know, he didn't try to beat me up or anything, but he always called me Peanut. All right, he called me Peanut. I'm a little dude, right? Little dude. He was big, husky, and everything. He called me Peanut. But the kids at school were Ben with. They made fun of him. And his nickname in the fifth grade was the Dummy. His name was the Dummy. That's what they called him when he was in the fifth grade, the Dummy. And Ben's mother became very concerned about his treatment that her sons were receiving at school. So she required her sons to go and write her two book reports each week. All right. And as a result, Ben and his brother became very familiar with the Detroit Public Library. And one day in a science class, the teacher raised up a shiny black rock and asked if anyone could identify it. And only one person raised his hand. And guess who that one person was? It was Ben. Call on me, call on me, call on me. None of y'all been there till y'all couldn't wait, boy. Something going on in class. If you really knew the answer, boy, call on me. I'm here. Call on me. And so Ben raised his hand. So his classmates sort of giggled and they all chuckled because they just knew that the Dummy, all right, the Dummy was about to make a fool of himself today in class. And to everybody's amazement, Ben not only correctly identified the rock, he also explained how the rock was formed. And the class was flabbergasted. And Ben realized for the first time that he really was not the Dummy. And Ben says, I'll never forget the day because he liked the way he felt when he gave the correct answer. So Ben decided that he began to start reading books on every subject matter that he can get his hands on. About the sixth grade, he had risen to the top of his class, and he did so well that he went on to graduate from some major, major universities. He graduated from Yale University and also the University of Michigan's Medical School. And believe it or not, the name of this man is Ben Carson. At the age of 33, he became the head of the pediatric neurosurgeon at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore. And in 1987, he became the first doctor to successfully separate Siamese twins who were joined at the back of the head. All right. And this is the same Ben. Yeah, this is the same Ben. This is the same Ben that served on President 45's cabinet. All right. As a secretary of HUD, housing and HUD. But the thing is, all right, this is where he was called the Dummy, but the Dummy became the doctor. And somehow he was able to get over that. If you want to read that story, find some other good things such as that. That's taken from the book entitled, If You Can't Climb the Wall, Build a Door. I encourage you to get a copy of that book. It's a little old, but it has some very good things in there to help dealing with just facing life and going forth. But let's note closely what Saul then says here, all right? What he says here closely to David in the first part of verse 33. Saul flat out tells David, you are not able, all right? You are not able to go fight against this Philistine. David, you are not able to go fight against this giant of a Philistine. And the New Living Translation just simply reads, don't be ridiculous, man. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. Saul was very skeptical to absolutely confident that David did not have the ability to face Goliath, that David did not have the power to prevail over this Philistine. Saul did not see David physically able to withstand Goliath. When Saul saw Goliath and how he was looking, his height, his build, his strength, his armor, and everything that he had, he said, there is no way. Just in looking at his mere physical height and build, Saul didn't see David physically able to withstand Goliath. And sometimes that's one of the things you have to confront. You have to deal with a person's skepticism or incredulity about your ability to do something, all right? Let's take the second part. Look at the second part of verse 33. And what Saul does here, Saul expresses his skepticism of David's capability. Not only does he attack and just belittle David in terms of his ability, that David, you're not able to go against this Philistine giant. You're not able to do it. But he also expresses skepticism of David's capability in pulling this thing off. And I know you've been there. To where somebody just didn't believe in you. So what does Saul say here? He says in last part of verse 33 is, for you are but a youth, and he be a man from his youth. He says, David, you are but only a youth. He's either adolescent, probably close to adolescent, or certainly a young man. He was just a young man. All right. That's all you are, David. You are but only a young man. But this man, this Philistine, has been a man of war from or since his youth. All right. In other words, Saul was saying that David was inexperienced to go in hand-to-hand fighting against this Philistine, who had gained experience in this thing, in the battle of war, in hand-to-hand battle, probably for as long as David had been living. So he says, David, first of all, you're not able. Physically, you can't go up against this man, all right? You just can't do it. And secondly, you're incapable. You don't have the capability, all right? You don't have the competence. This guy has so much experience that as long as you have been living, he has been fighting. He has been learning how to war, all right? And you are inexperienced. You're just a lad. You're just a young man, all right? I know we've been there. Sometimes we've looked at ourselves in certain situations, and we also doubted, had some skepticism about our own ability and our capability. But whereas David saw this contest between he and the Philistine an easy match, Saul saw this contest as a mismatch. All right. David saw it as an easy match because he said, hey, this target is so big, there's no way I'm going to miss this guy. Whatever I do, even if I can't miss him because he's so big. All right. But Saul saw this as a mismatch because of David's. He didn't think David was able, nor did he think David had the capability. He didn't think that David was able to go against him physically and that David was inexperienced, and therefore he was not competent enough. He did not have the capability to go and fight against this Philistine. But in addition then, and taking a look at what's really needed, in addition to having courage instead of fear in facing overwhelming odds, and in this case with David, it was against Goliath, all right? But he had to deal with the fear factor. That's what was restricting and restraining Saul and the Israelite army. But in addition to having courage, what else was it that David had in order to see this not as a mismatch, but as an easy match? So I'm here to tell you that what is needed, what else is needed, what's needed in addition to when we're confronted with people's skepticism, all right? We need courage to sort of dismantle and tackle fear that will sometimes come upon us. And again, remember, fear is an internal thing, all right? Fear is an internal thing, all right? But when you're facing people's skepticism of your ability and your capability, the additional thing you need is this right here, confidence. Confidence. Wow, that brought a smile to my face. Confidence. Confidence. Excuse me. You have to have confidence in yourself when others may not have confidence in you. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Talk to me a little bit. Let me know that you're getting this here. I see you, Bridget. Another grade school classmate of Rita's and I. Glad to have you with us today. You have to have confidence in yourself when others may not have confidence in you. You have to believe in yourself when others don't believe in you. What is confidence? Confidence really is an inner perception of one's ability, number one, to do a specific job, and also one's perception of their capability to fulfill a particular or a certain kind of role. All right. So it's our inner perception of our ability and our capability. Confidence is being sure of one's ability. Confidence says, I know I am able. And if you're confident about some things, go on and say, I know I'm able. Or just tell yourself sometimes, you got to tell yourself, I know I am able. Being confident, that's really the adjective. Confident is the adjective. Confidence is a noun. But confidence says, I know I am able. Being confident is knowing you can handle something. They play off of each other, but being confident is knowing that you can handle something. It says, I can handle this. I can handle this. Not only am I able, but I can handle this. I can handle this. Dr. Richard Petty, a professor at Ohio State University, a psychologist there, he says that confidence is the stuff that turns our thoughts into action. Confidence is the stuff that turns our thoughts into action. He says that confidence greases the wheels for action. Confidence greases the wheels for action. I don't know if you all, and if you know anything about the man by the name of Ty Cobb, but y'all know I'm baseball a little bit. And Ty Cobb was born in the late 1800s. And he was a tremendous baseball player really of all times. He was inducted in the Hall of Fame shortly after he finished his career. And he is legendary because out of all of the batters in baseball history, Major League Baseball history, Ty Cobb still has the record of the highest batting average. All right. For those that look at all those kinds of things with averages, he still is the top dog. All right. And he died in 1961. And so when Ty Cobb was 70 years old, this was in 1956, he was being interviewed, all right, by a sportscaster. And the sportscaster asked him, what do you think you would hit if you were playing in this era? All right. Now, the batting average that he had lifetime was 366 or 367. In other words, what that means is that out of 10 at bats, all right, to get up to bat, so to speak, out of 10 at bats, he would hit the ball and get on base 3.6 times. All right. And that and a very good, excellent batting average is merely 300. Merely 300 is what's considered to be a great and excellent batting average. His was 366, 367. And here's what Ty Cobb told that sportscast. He said, I think I'd hit about 290, maybe 300. So the sportscaster thought that he understood what Cobb was really saying. And so he said, that's because of the traveling. That's because of the night games. That's because of the artificial turf and all the new pitches like the slider and that kind of stuff, right? And Cobb quickly corrected the sportscaster in regards to his understanding and said, no, that's not the reason. The reason why I'd hit 290 or 300 is because I'm 70. All right. That's a little comical, too, if you think about it. But the thing about this is that the sportscaster thought Cobb couldn't hang with the new terrain. And Cobb just simply said, I know the level of my confidence. I know what I'm able to do at 70. I know what I think I'm able to do and what I'm capable to get done. That was his level of confidence. And it is because of courage and confidence, right? We're able to get things through. It was because of courage and confidence that Caleb was confident in saying in Numbers 13 and 30, when the children of Israel were looking at to go into the promised land and they sent 10 spies out, and you go back and read the story there in the book of Numbers. But Caleb, who was 80, 85 years old at the time when they were ready to go into the promised land, he confidently said this, let us go up at once and possess the promised land, for we are well able to overcome it. We are well able to prevail. All right. And it was also because of courage and confidence that David was able to counter Saul's, don't be ridiculous, David. There is no way you can go and fight against this Philistine. David countered Saul's don't be ridiculous by confidently saying in verse 32, the last part of verse 32, I will go and fight with this Philistine. In other words, David said, don't worry, King. I got this. Trust me. Wow. Courage and confidence. So here's today's takeaway. Here's today's takeaway. With courage and confidence, you can face and overcome an overwhelming challenge. With courage and confidence, you can face and overcome an overwhelming challenge. If you can, maybe to just concise that a little bit, cut that down a little bit, I want you to just type in there in the comment section. We win confronting challenges with courage and confidence. We win confronting challenges with courage and confidence. You might need to write that down and just keep that with yourself sometimes. And maybe change and say, I win confronting challenges with courage and confidence. It takes both of those two things sometimes in order to make the resolve to face gigantic challenges, immense struggles in life. It takes both courage and confidence to make the resolve to face a challenge. And we're able to win when we confront challenges with courage and confidence. We're going to cut it right there, my friend. We're going to cut it right there, y'all. But next Sunday, don't leave me on this. Don't leave me with this. All right. Come back next Sunday. Next Sunday, we'll return if the Lord willing. And we will continue with this conversation between David and Saul to gain another insight. All right. And how we're able to confront gigantic challenges. We'll dig a little deeper into this concept of confidence, and specifically try to take a look at where does confidence come from? All right. We've got to have courage, and we also have to have confidence. But where does confidence come from? We saw where courage comes from. You go back and look at first in Joshua chapter 1. Our courage is built upon the promises of God. All right. Our courage was built and is built upon the promises of God. As Joshua did, when God told Joshua it was time to go into the promised land and to possess it and to conquer. So we'll come back next Sunday and we'll deal with a little bit more about this concept of confidence and take a look at where does confidence come from. I hope this has been a blessing to you today. Just want to pray with you as we close out. And don't leave out with us here. We certainly want to give an opportunity to give and want to share how you can do that with us today. But let me pray with you right now. Father, we thank you again for your graciousness unto us. We thank you, God, for the challenges that we have in life, for the struggles that sometimes we find ourselves in. And you told us in your word that in all things we are to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. And so, God, thank you for the challenges that we face. Thank you for the challenges that sometimes loom much larger in life to us that we find ourselves in. But we know, God, that with courage and with confidence, all right, that we are able to face those challenges. And so we ask you, Lord, to help us in the midst right now. Somebody right now is going through something that's really deep, heavy, and hard. It's tedious, God, and it's something that just is looming so large in their life. But God, I pray that you bless them, give them the courage, help them, God, to confidently stand in that thing, to withstand the challenge, to withstand the confrontation, so that they can come out and win, and that they can do that with courage that's needed and confidence as well. Those two dynamic duos will help us. So Father, I pray that you would help us to walk in courage, help us to walk in confidence, and Lord, to bless even these so that we can be victorious over overwhelming odds and challenges in our life. And also, my friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ, the greatest way to face the challenges of life is really to have somebody on your side. And the Lord is the one to have on your side. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I bid you to do so now. You can do that by simply confessing of your sins and confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. Just tell God and ask God to forgive you of your sins, that you repent of your wrong, and that you know you're in need of a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. And that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary so that you might be saved, and that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Confess your sins and confess your faith. Confess your sins to God and confess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask him to save you and to come into your heart today. And if you do that, we want to know that. We want to know that you've asked Jesus to come into your life, into your heart. And you can do that by texting 767-62 317-676-0134. Right there, the ticker on the bottom of the screen there. Text 767-62 317-676-0134, because we want to be a support to you in your spiritual journey. And also, you may want to become a part of our cyber church community, our online church, or you may have a prayer request. So again, you can text that number 767-672-317-676-0134. And in the comment section, let us know that you prayed that prayer. If you did, let us know that you want to become of our online church, become a part of our online church, or if you have a prayer request, type that prayer request in the comment section. And as always, we would appreciate any support that you would want to give and support to the ministry. There are four ways you can do that. One is through via Cash App, and that's $COFCOGIC. $COFCOGIC through Cash App. You also can use tap the blue bar on our fan page here, our Facebook page here, that reads Use App. That will take you directly to the Givelify app, and you can give easily that way. You can tithe, you can sow a seed, you can support the ministry, and you can also give by way of PayPal. And that's to Citadel of Faith, Church of God in Christ, via PayPal. Or you can also mail to 7676 East 38th Street in the city of Indianapolis, Indiana. The zip code is 46226. We certainly are sincerely appreciate any support that you give. No amount is too small and no amount is too large. And we pray that God will bless you in sowing your seed and in supporting ministry and putting your seed into good ground. You also can take us along with you no matter where you go. You can have spiritual inspiration and biblical teaching from us. You can be a part and join our download our podcasts. Journey to the Citadel, and you can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Soundbreaker, and also Pandora. And you also can pick up the podcast and take us along with you from our website at CitadelKojic.com, CitadelKojic.com. There is a tab there at the website that just says podcast. Just tap that and you can take us along with you. Please like us here on Facebook and also on other social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Citadel Kojic. Again, the at sign, at Citadel Kojic. And we certainly pray again that God has blessed you being with us today, because we always want to give you something of great substance and support to encourage you and to help you in your spiritual journey. I just want you to know that I look forward to you being back with us again this coming Sunday as we continue in this series on how to confront gigantic challenges. Know that Lady Rita and I, we love you very dearly, and God loves you more, because the Bible lets us know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Keep believing and keep standing with courage and confidence. God bless you for the remainder of this day, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Peace. We'll be right back.